There's been a movement since the 70s of people who have had encounters with the psychiatric system, it's basically been an anti-oppression liberation type movement, and out of that movement developed the concept of peer support, where people support one another. Don't say, "Oh, you have anxiety or you have some emotional issues. You should just go see a professional." But where people respectfully listen and share their own experiences with one another, and that has changed many people's lives. Often, when you're feeling down or feeling out of control, it's easy to think you are the only one and that there's no one in the world who can possibly understand what you're going through. I think many of us have had times in our lives when we feel, you know, we feel different or alienated. So one of the many, there's many interesting and supportive things that have come out of what has been called the peer movement, or the psychiatric survivor movement, or different things. So what there's different names. One of them is the idea of a place to go in crisis that is run by and staffed by people who have lived experience with emotional distress, with trauma, often with psychiatric encounters. And so there's, I think about 5 years ago, there were only around a dozen in the country of these places called peer respites. People can usually go there for a week. They're usually free, and there's no use of force or coercion. There's no social workers or psychiatrists or other representatives of the mental health system there. It's a a safe space, a sanctuary from the kind that those systems, and also from everyday life when people need a break. So this article I wrote was about three particular peer respites, one in Western Mass in the city of Northampton that serves all the way to the Berkshires and into the counties in the Pioneer Valley. Another one is in Rochester, Vermont, about an hour or so north of Rutland. That is the only peer respite in Vermont, and people come from all counties in the state. And then there's one in the city of Glens Falls, which is a little more mainstream. So people call up. They can't be placed in these settings. They have to desire to go and take some initiative. So that in itself is very different from ending up in an emergency department and a psychiatric ward. Many people are brought by the police or ambulances or other emergency services, often against their will, into the hospital setting. But in these peer respites, people come. They can sleep if they've been staying up all night, if that's what they want to do. They could, you know, talk. They can talk with people who have had difficult experiences, where there will be understanding. And I think the most important point is no judgment, you know, and not the expectation that if you have this kind of, if you have extreme emotional state, or you're hearing voices that are telling you that you're no good or whatever, that you will have no potential to have a good life and a good quality of life, or to contribute to society. The understanding is that people go through things, and sometimes by going through things, it's possible to get out the other side with more self-knowledge and more ability to live the life that you desire. So that's actually very radical thinking in our society.
So your article is available online at hillcountryobserver.com. But if people want information on how to find these peer respite facilities, where would they go?
Well, let's see. I think probably looking up peer respite Glens Falls, you would probably find it. But that particular facility is called Rose House, like the flower. And there's actually three others in the mid and lower Hudson Valley, all run by one organization. The one in Vermont, which is open to any Vermont resident, after you talk to the staff, and is called Alyssum, like the flower, Alyssum. The one in Northampton, Mass, which is available to people from Berkshire County East, I think up to Springfield, is called AFIA, AFIYA, which is a Swahili word meaning something like physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being, which is a beautiful idea. And there's, if you have friends or relatives in other parts of the country, you could probably find, there's several directories online looking for peer respites.
So this sounds in a way different from, well, in many ways different from the medicalized care for these kinds of issues. But maybe most prominently that if somebody's in crisis and is sent somewhere by somebody else, that requires no pre-planning. You call the emergency number and they come and cart them away. In this case, do you need to plan ahead a little bit more, or can you be...
Well, some of these places have waiting lists, and, you call, and I know AFIA, their house manager said they have five times as many people interested in coming as they have room for, but they'll keep a short waiting list. And if you are not on the waiting list yet because the waiting list is kept short, if you still want to come, you just call up repeatedly, which can be frustrating, especially when you're in crisis. They tend to be small and have two or three bedrooms only. You have your own bedroom. We live in a society that does not put enough resources into alternatives, even into the mainstream, but certainly the alternatives are very meagerly funded, even though they have demonstrated that they save a lot of money. Stay in a psychiatric facility is hundreds and hundreds of dollars a day, and these are the costs are much more modest. These tend to be a house that's been renovated for that feels like home and just has been renovated to meet fire codes or whatever else they would need to meet as, licensed facility. But I think one of the most important differences is really the use of force. And many people who end up in a psychiatric ward or hospital have been put in seclusion, where there's basically like a mattress on the floor, and you're locked in because you're too like loud or they think you're violent or something like that. But the whole situation could make anyone pretty angry, especially when you are being taken away without consent. Another thing, people are unbelievably put in restraints where they're strapped down to beds, sometimes for many hours at a time.
Well, we're running out of time, but I think that one of the most interesting aspects of your article is that it references the state of the art for a movement that's been underway for many decades. So if folks are listening and some of this sounds interesting and important to them, maybe resonates in their own lives or with people who they know, Where can they get in touch with a movement? Not so much the Peer Respite Network, but the movement for changing medical...
Right, for medicating emotions, basically.
Yes.
I think the best organization in our region is called the Western Massachusetts Recovery Learning Community. That's a long name, but what you have to remember is Western Mass, and then the three letters, RLC, Recovery Learning Community. They have a great website. You can watch videos on the website. You could read newsletters and hear about a lot of interesting and important events, and you can connect. It's a little bit out of our region, but you could take workshops that are life-changing there. So Western Mass RLC.